Now back to the Fan Late Night with Sean Drotar on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Everybody get up, it's time to slam now. We got a real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam.
Okay, ordinarily, right? Not going to go bonkers over a win over the Cleveland Cavaliers, especially when they're missing roughly half their team. But what Jamal Murray did tonight was special. Here to take a look at it with us is our Nuggets insider, Matt Moore. Follow him on Twitter, HB Basketball, and at the Action Network. Matt, I gotta be honest. I've never seen anything like that. And then it turned out at the end of the game, we found out no one's ever seen anything like that. Jamal Murray going for 50 points without a single free throw attempt.
Remember when Murray was, you know, back to, or we were asking the question of, is he just never going to be like he was in the bubble ever? And it's just kind of funny that he's able to do now. Granted, it's always about him and his consistency, but look, just the array of shots, the post-ups. It's funny how it gets started. Like a slip pass, like he slips on a screen, Will Barton with a great pass to find him for his first dunk. And then from there, like, he just started to get going. He got the post up. And when he hit the post up fadeaway, you could tell that everything was going. And then he starts bombing threes. It's funny because that's how it always works with him. If his off the dribble game, if his post up step back game is going, he starts going to the three more. The one that he hit for basically the logo fading away, just how do you do that? How do you hit that shot? And an unbelievable performance from Jamal. Just an unbelievable performance from Jamal Murray, who just is one of those guys in the league that when he is at that level, there is no one that can stop him whatsoever, even if the Cavs had good defenders, which they did not tonight.
No, the Nuggets as a team shoot 57.5%. Murray only misses four shots out of 25. But when you look at the development of his game, I've really been impressed this season with how he's played down low. I mean, you're talking about a guy that theoretically is kind of a point guard, although the Nuggets don't really play that way. But a 6'3 guy usually isn't operating in the post the way Murray is. I think it's a real credit to his effort to really diversify that offensive game, because now it seems to me there really isn't anything he can't do.
Yeah, and I think it's funny. For a long time, his handle was kind of dubious, and he had problems with getting pressured, and he had problems with, you know, getting the entry pass off of Jokic so that he could then cut. And now, like, everything is just so seamless for him. Like, you just see the refinement of the skills over hours and hours and hours. And when he's able to hit those post-up shots, again, like, we go back to this, when he's doing that, it puts a lot of pressure on the defense. When you're a guard that can post up like that, because not a lot of guys can do that anymore. The league is so much a face-up off the dribble from the perimeter game, and Murray's got that too. But when you're able to do that and add that to your game where you can just clear out the floor on one side and let a guy go to work, you know, that those are, he's a tough shot maker, and those are guys that separate out teams, because that's what you need to win in the NBA, especially in the playoffs, is you need a guy that can hit those kind of shots, and Murray's one of the best at them.
Nikola Jokic celebrates his 26th birthday tonight with another ho-hum triple-double that barely anyone noticed. The thing that impressed me with Jokic's game tonight, again, his natural feel for the game is shocking. You could tell early on that Murray had it going, and he was basically happy with just stepping out of the way and making sure he was facilitating. When you look at the way Jokic's play has evolved and leadership on the court has evolved, what have you seen?
I mean, I think he's always been a guy that would be happy to give it up if a guy is hot like Jamal. But I do think that he makes sure to keep everybody involved. He's got such a good sense of who needs it. It's not just like, oh, this will work, so I'm going to do this. It's, all right, I got to have faith in this guy and get him going. Like, he looked for Michael Porter Jr. to help get him going tonight. He continues to look for MPJ despite the frustrations that he's had with him. And that's a great sign, I think, for Nuggets fans, if you want to believe that MPJ can play like he did tonight versus actual NBA teams. I think Jokic also, the fact that he doesn't feel the need to be like, hey, I gotta make sure I get my 20. Like, hey, I gotta make sure there's no pressure there. He's not gunning assists to try and get the triple double. Like, he just plays. And if the numbers come, then the numbers come. It's genuine. And look, a lot of guys say that they're like that. But I understand why guys chase numbers. I do. Like, there's contract bonuses tied to it. All-star performances tied to it. All-NBA bonuses tied to it. I get all those things. The fact that Joker is really just willing to be like, no, I don't care. It's fine. I think is one of the best things about him and the reason why the whole thing works.
You talked about Porter Jr. tonight, 22-7 against the Lakers. He was awful against Boston. He had one of the worst games I think I've ever seen anyone have offensively. But in the last two, seems like getting a little bit better. Certainly tonight was better than against Washington. Seeing the three-point attempts becoming a slightly smaller percentage of what he's doing because his athleticism should have him driving towards the rim more than he does. But seven rebounds in the last three games consistently. The effort seems to be there on defense, even though he's still got a lot to learn. Knowing that Jokic is basically force-feeding him like he has been, like you described, what have you seen in the – let's put them together, really. The last four games, from that bad game against the Lakers to the awful one against Boston to the last two.
I think the Washington game was a reset for him. I did think that tonight he had a good feel for the game, which is something that's been missing for pretty much the whole season. Like, he made good decisions in terms of when to pass up shots. He made good decisions on when to pump fake and drive. When he drove, he didn't drive uncontrollably. He wasn't trying to force the issue. He got to his spot and he rattled down mid-range shots or little leaners. He played underneath the rim and got put back. Like, he could score in so many ways, and he was also spotting up when he was open. He took those shots. I thought that overall the offensive game was really good. I think, you know, again, if the Nuggets would just come play the Cavs every night, then probably Michael Porter Jr. would be an all-star. It's not that, look, the Cavs are an NBA team, and they were a really good one, actually, about a month ago, and everything has just fallen off the planet when they got hurt, and then a bunch of other, their chemistry melted. But I will say that, like, look, there are guys that can't score versus the Cavs, and MPJ could score as many as he did versus the Cavs. Thought he played really well. I think he turned a little bit of a corner. I think that you can get off the ledge a little bit with the MPJ talk, especially with regards to, at least tonight, it didn't look painfully awkward when he was on the court, and that's really what you're looking for. The numbers are great, but really you're looking for it to be, it wasn't painfully awkward trying to play a five-man game with him, and that was a good outcome.
I'm going to go with a question that I had off the text line a little bit ago. The idea that Jamal Murray turns 24 basically next week. Michael Porter Jr. turns 23 this summer. I know the situations are behind, but can you explain to people why Porter's development and his knowledge of the game seems to be so far behind, even though their ages are relatively close?
He spent 2 years almost away from basketball. You know, he hardly didn't play at Missouri at all, and he had injuries coming in, and he had injuries the entire year in Missouri, and it took him his entire rookie season to get back. He chose to go into the draft, and obviously it was worth it because of where he got drafted, and wound up, you know, with the Nuggets, and they were willing to take the time to make sure he was absolutely fine because if they rushed him, it would have been pretty rough. The other thing I'll say is if you track similar players, and you look at them and you look at where they were at the same age, the numbers will often look different. But if you compare them based off of how many years they were in the league, they often start to align. And it makes you understand, you just pick up, there's a natural progression that happens. Point guards, it's most evident with. I've talked to point guards and they've all said the same thing, which is it takes a full 5 years in the NBA to really understand how to play point guard. I think Porter was behind because he didn't really play in a team concept. He played mostly in, you know, high school and AAU, and in those environments, like, best player puts up buckets. So I think that's part of it. I also do think, like, these are the concepts that he's having to learn are just things that he's not great at. There are players that just struggle with those things. He's talented enough for it to be okay when his shot's falling, but that's mostly why.
The Nuggets, maybe, and we're talking with our Nuggets insider, Matt Moore, maybe they stumbled onto something. You didn't want to see Jermichael Green get hurt. Paul Millsap is out. Green ended up with the shoulder contusion, played 1 minute. But did the Nuggets maybe stumble on something with Porter Jr. playing the four at certain stretches? To me, with Jokic and Murray and Barton and Porter on the floor, I kind of liked all that spacing. Was I missing something?
No, you're absolutely on par, on course. So the good folks over at DenverStiffs.com have actually been on this for quite a while, that Porter's numbers have been better in any lineup where he plays four, that he intuitively is going to be better at four. It makes a lot of sense, right? So you're not having to – you don't have to maintain your the kind of speed and footwork that you need versus wings in the NBA. You don't have to navigate many screens. The problem is if you play him at the four – any team that's got a four that can screen is going to put him in pick and roll every time. That's going to be the drawback. But if you can figure out a way to play him and switch those things and get the matchups kind of changed around to limit that, then it'll be okay. Offensively, that's where he belongs. As a small ball four, he's perfect. Like, that's absolutely the spot, because I didn't think that coming in until I saw him. He's so good at rebounding. He's so good at the rim. He honestly, there's every category except defense, he plays like a four. And even defense, if he's got, you'd rather him be guarding post-ups and pick and pops, because there just aren't a lot of dominant power forwards in the game anymore. It's all point guards, small forwards, and centers. And so that's probably a better spot for him to try and for him to survive. The Nuggets just have a lot of talent at the power forward spot, but I do think they found something going forward with those lineups.
He is Matt Moore. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at HP Basketball and at the Action Network. This one was fun. It was a good way to end the week. Looking forward to talking to you next week, but hopefully another couple wins for the Nuggets. Thanks for the time.
Talk to you, John. Take care.
All right. Wonderful. Good stuff by Matt Moore, especially talking about the maturity of Michael Porter Jr., how Nikola Jokic, you get the idea of how this all flows together. If Murray is playing the way he plays, it allows Jokic to just kind of play traffic cop. And that means he's allowed to basically dictate the flow of the game and help younger players like Michael Porter Jr. get in the right spot. So, yeah, the Cavs are bad. The Nuggets beat a bad team, and they beat them badly. But then again, when you're a good team, that's what you're supposed to do. Maybe in tonight, the Nuggets look like a good team. It's a good sign. It is mock draft season in the NFL. I have a new one for you where there's some quarterback-heavy trades moving all over the place. That makes things interesting for the Denver Broncos. I'll tell you about it next.